Hi, this is Larry Jordan, the host of the Digital Production Buzz. The following interview was recorded live on the exhibit floor at the 2017 NAB Show in Las Vegas, Nevada. For all our NAB interviews, visit nabshowbuzz.com. And welcome back to the Digital Production Buzz at NAB. This is Larry Jordan, and we're joined by James DeRuvo, the senior writer for Dottel News covering film and technology. Hello, James. Welcome.
Hello, Larry. Once more into the breach.
Yes, indeed. Well, it's the last day of NAB, and I think it's appropriate to sort of get your reactions on what you've seen for trends and what's hot and what you see coming. So what's caught your attention?
Well, you know what? It seems that the big trend this year is streaming. It's like streaming for everybody. So whether you're a church or a YouTube channel or just somebody who wants to, you know, rant and rave, you can actually grab a piece of streaming technology for under $1,000 or grab your mobile device and start streaming for dirt cheap. And that was that big takeaway from this NAB this year.
Well, I've seen streaming is now not only implemented in terms of streaming on your own, but as it goes into Periscope and as it goes into Facebook Live and as it goes into YouTube, is it streaming now? We've got multiple streaming channels and people are providing streaming origination software and distribution software so that there's now a whole streaming ecosystem of companies. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, it's democratized is probably the best word to say it, and it's really great for one of the really great applications for this is if you have a band and you're starting to build your audience, you could do a live streaming of a concert or a live streaming of your recording sessions and just fan service and giving them experiences live that you would normally give. You could even expand it into the 360 realm if you want. Insta360 has an attachment for your iPhone that turns your phone into a live streaming 360 device. There's, you know, we talked about Boxcast earlier in the week, which honestly for me is probably going to be my best in show. It was a really great device, and the company is really smart. They know what they're doing. They got a great vision, and live streaming is just really it. I think that's the thing. Some people are thinking it's going to be virtual reality. I don't think virtual reality is really going anywhere except for in teaching and training. But augmented reality and live streaming and that type of thing, that's the big takeaway from it.
Okay, so we've got streaming as takeaway number one. What's another thought that's come?
Well, you know, there's a lot of really great devices for filmmakers out there that won't cost you an arm and a leg. We talked about the Sigma Cine lenses yesterday, with prices starting at $4,000. But SLR Magic's Anamorphot 1.33x-40 anamorphic adapter, under $500, can turn any lens into an anamorphic. You can get that 2.35:1 aspect ratio. Boy, I'm excited about that one. And small HD. Small HD has that ultra-bright monitor that's just flat-out beautiful. You don't need a hood. Those are the hot things.
Well, their booth was out in the sunshine yesterday, and that takes a level of courage to say, this is a monitor you can use outside, and here we are showing it outside in Las Vegas where the sun's about as bright as it's going to get.
I took a picture of it, and we posted it on Twitter, and the sun is shining right on that monitor, and those colors are bold and beautiful, and it's like, wow. It was like I was looking at it under a hood without the hood.
I'm also impressed with how HDR is continuing its march forward, and we're seeing it in monitors, we're seeing it in software support, we're seeing it in being able to convert from SDR to HDR and HDR to SDR. The conversion process is moving forward, and I think HDR is going to be as big as HD is over the long term. It's just going to take us a while to make that transition, the same way it took us a while to transition from standard def to high def.
Oh, I totally agree. I think that HDR is more important than squeezing out even more resolution. I think 4K is probably really going to be good enough for most people, unless you're shooting on red. But having that HDR benefit to it, that really makes your colors pop, and that really makes the image look sharper and brighter and more vibrant than it actually is, thanks to the wide dynamic range of HDR.
Have you seen any drones you like?
Probably my favorite drone is the is the little tiny Dobby that can fly in formation, and it's literally fits in your pocket. It shoots in 4K, collapses. It was a really cute little drone, and it's like under $400. It was really, really a fun little drone.
Then there was one you mentioned that looked like an egg. Do you remember that one?
Yes, the Power Egg. It looked like it came from outer space. The rotors collapse and the landing gear collapse into the egg. The camera collapses into the egg, and it looks like an egg from Alien. And then you pop it open, and you fly it with a joystick. it's like Nintendo, and it's strange looking, but it's kind of cool. I really liked it.
If we move away from drones, what else caught your eye?
I'm still focused on that streaming stuff. I just can't. I just everywhere I went, there's a new company called Freecast that is building up a wireless solution for not only GoPro but any HDMI enabled camera. So you could have DSLRs, camcorders, GoPros, anything that has an HDR signal, and you can route it through your mobile device and stream up to four of them to the cloud and switch it with your mobile device. And does anybody use this phone for telephone calls anymore? but I can't stop talking about live streaming. It's the thing.
Well, another thought that comes to mind that I've heard a lot about, we've had a lot on color and color integration, not just in terms of DaVinci Resolve 14, but color integration throughout the entire process. And more products are moving on set, so we're starting to see better color on set, which gives us opportunities for more monitoring. So a stronger workflow, a stronger color workflow from on set all the way through post and distribution.
Well, that does bring up one point. I was at the Polar Pro booth yesterday, and I told you yesterday about that Mavic Pro Katana controller, but they're also putting out their own LUT color package so that you can color correct anything that's shot with a camera that's using Polar Pro filters and things. So not only are companies starting to put together filters and accessories for your cameras, but they're also coming out with their own LUT packages to really dial in and squeeze out every bit of performance out of those filters. And I think that's an interesting development as well.
And thinking of filters, we saw some new filters introduced both from Tiffin and from Schneider this year. So there's never-ending new toys to play with it.
Never-ending. Yeah, and it, filters kind of amaze me because we're in year 25 of using computers to cut and edit, and it's like I haven't used a filter in 20 years, and I'm thinking, oh, maybe I should start using filters again.
Yeah, it all depends upon whether you want to capture it in a camera and save yourself render time later or add it later, but effects captured at the camera are always a little bit better than effects that are done later in post, I think.
Ah, but you can't use an undo button with those.
Oh, that's very true. You got to have the courage of your convictions when you decide to put a filter in front of a camera. James, for people that want more information, where can they go on the web to keep track of the latest in our industry?
DoddleNews.com.
That's all one word, DoddleNews. And James DeRuvo is the senior writer covering film and technology for Doddle News. James, it's been a great show. Thank you for all your help, and thank you for all your reports.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
And we'll chat again next week on the weekly Digital Production Buzz.
See you then.
Take care.